Is it all good, Dregs? How we feeling?
He's going to read a book.
He's reading Stu Grimson. That is a good read. Stu Grimson's book.
Oh, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. Oh, it was your fault, Dregs. It was your fault.
It wasn't my fault. I have not moved. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. And by the way, here's something different. I didn't just shut off all the machinery and walk away from the studio. I stayed in the fight. And I'm here.
I love it.
And we can continue on.
Buddy, I'll stay in the fight too, but it gets to a point where you got to shut everything off and say, check, please. I'm not doing this anymore. But I will admit, Dregs, in the past 3 years, I walked away because I'm like, guys, this just isn't working. Not from me mailing it in or not wanting to work, but admit, 10 times it was my fault because I didn't have my ear pods connected to my Wi-Fi. There was 10 different occasions I was saying to somebody, you got to come and check out my outfit, and it was just something stupid that I couldn't accomplish.
It's fair.
Yeah.
It feels good to cleanse, right? To just admit that you know, you were at fault, and everybody can now move on.
Yeah.
There you go. Brian, you want to revisit the
Sid Novy.
I was trying to answer that.
I'd love. Yeah. We were.
I would say.
Go ahead. How do you feel about that?
I would say a year ago, you know, it felt like there at least was an opportunity or an idea that Crosby would consider chasing another Stanley Cup. And at that point, it seemed like the Pittsburgh Penguins were more ready to embrace a retool, rebuild, whatever the R word is you want to use. And then Hextall came in and their goaltending stabilized. And all of a sudden, there's seemed to be new life in the Pittsburgh organization. And that's all cast aside. I've never felt, I don't know, you guys jump in on this. I've never felt like Ovechkin was ever in a position to do anything but play out his NHL career with the Washington Capitals. And if he was ever going to leave the NHL, and he's certainly not going to do that now, given the chase that he's on and chasing history, that it might be to go back to the mother country. But I think both Crosby and Ovechkin are fairly established, and I think it's fair that they're going to retire as Penguins and Capitals.
Yeah. It actually, there are more examples around the league that maybe just don't get enough attention. Like if Bergeron retires after this year, all he did was play for the Bruins.
Right.
You know, Kopitar, Doughty, Taves and Kane, it feels like the end is near for them, right? But I don't know. I mean, it does happen from time to time.
Yeah, it does. And guys, like, just to bring it to present day here for a moment, I'm intrigued by the whole Kane and Taves situation with the Chicago Blackhawks. And mostly because, look, I mean, we've been looking forward to what might transpire here with expiring contracts. These two guys who are iconic with Blackhawks organization, you know, would they chase another Stanley Cup? They each have three each. So I think this has to be more of a balance between a competitive opportunity and a lifestyle adjustment. But there's also a factor here that we kind of nibble at, but nobody's really sure. How healthy is Patrick Kane? I can tell you that the hockey world is asking that question and has for a long, long time. If he is healthy and he's deemed healthy closer to the trade deadline, then of course there's going to be top teams that are interested, and both Kane and Taves are going to have a very, very short list. Maybe two teams each, maybe one team. Depends on which guy we're talking about here. But there's still some question marks around those two guys in Chicago.
Dregs, 30 years ago, Bettman came on board, and there's been some discussion on this show just about, you're talking about Kane, Taves, possibly some buzz there. But in overall, and the ratings came up, and James Duthie basically explained that that's not all it usually is, or it's nothing really to read into. But do you think the idea of, like, no buzz league, like, does it ever gain traction? Like, do they ever take notice of it and say, let's address this, or is it his way, the highway, and we don't care what people think or actually know in this particular case?
Yeah. Well, look, they do care what people think, and by they, we're talking about the commissioner's office here. I'm sure that there are internal questions, and have been, with the U.S. ratings, and why is that? You know, what isn't being done? You know, what are the complicating factors? What is the competition beside the obvious? And you know, all of that has to be considered in the end analysis here as to why the ratings have dropped, and, you know, what's the next step in this process? But to go to your point, you know, the no fun league when it comes to the trade speculation and the reality of trades, we've been starving for something of significance across the board. And it's not just guys like me who try and break these trades and talk about this on a daily basis. I mean, once you have the trade, then guys like you engage and you analyze, is this a good deal? Is this a bad deal? All of that. Well, that's just buzz like you're talking about. I think that that might look after itself in the not too distant future with the salary cap increasing. It's not going to bump up, as we know, too much next year. But after that, the system loosens up. But I've always thought that the commissioner pushed back on some of the more entertaining and intriguing ideas, like a franchise player or a luxury tax or any of that. And the primary reason is the league, for the most part, is as healthy as it's been. You get that from the commissioner's office every time, you know, there's media availability with Bettman. So does he trust his owners or the general managers employed by the owners enough to not screw it up? And it feels like he probably doesn't, to be fair. But I always say the same thing. I mean, the commissioner is a very powerful guy. He's done wonderful things financially and for the growth of the game. I would say that. I believe that. But 32 owners employ the commissioner of the National Hockey League. So if they don't like it and they don't see the entertainment value outside of what's happening on the ice, then that's up to them to change it.
Drakes, how long do you think Gary Bettman is going to, I mean, extend his, I don't know, stay at 30 years? I mean, he's had a good run, but, you know, he is, somebody tweeted at us, he's in Vince McMahon territory as far as how long, you know, pillar to post. And, you know, we all have varying opinions on the job that he's done. He's had a very hard job, and I think he's grown the game, but, you know, Brian has a different view as opposed to me and O, and I'm sure you have a different view.
Yeah.
But how much more do you think he'll stay, and is there a successor? Do you think there's a successor plan in place?
Well, I'm sure they've had those discussions, but I was at a Board of Governors meeting a couple of years ago when that question was posed, and he pushed back pretty hard, you know, essentially saying don't go there because there's no reason to go there. But like any other major corporation, there has to be a succession plan. You have to have those conversations. I think that the luxury that Gary Bettman has is Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, right? I mean, Daly does, you know, a mountain of work at every level of helping run the head office of the National Hockey League. So he could slide into that chair on a moment's notice if he had to. But the one thing, and look, I again just spent time around Bettman recently at the Board of Governors meetings. He's a feisty man. He still has the fire burning. And, you know, if you want to go into battle with Gary Bettman, then you better make sure that you've got your battle strategy mapped out to perfection, because he is as sharp as a tack. So as long as those juices continue to flow, I don't get any sense at any time, and I've poked around on occasion over the years among the owners that you know, I talk to on occasion, that they're in a hurry to push him out of office. So it'll be when Gary Bettman says, I've had enough. I want to just spend the rest of my days playing golf, running on the beach, playing with my grandkids, whatever he wants to do. But I can't tell you that that's anytime soon.
No, it doesn't feel that way. With Darren Dreger at TSN Hockey Insider, it feels like 30 years is just such a long time for the same voice. And like, the league has changed, the economics have changed, there have been ups and downs, and I don't dispute that. If you're one of the owners, clearly you're a fan of his, because he's got it in a very healthy position, and you've likely made a lot of money in terms of franchise value, etc. But I'm curious, Dregs, if you feel like Bill Daly is so connected to Bettman. That doesn't mean he wouldn't have his own unique, original ideas, but he's very connected. If you brought in someone that has no connection to Bettman's office right now, could you picture is there anything that you think would be on the table immediately that would be considered too progressive for Bettman? In other words, a restructuring of the schedule, you know, the playoffs.
That would be it.
Would that be it? You think that's where they'd go immediately almost?
Well, I mean, that makes the most sense, right? And almost on an annual basis, that's brought up by either a small gaggle of general managers, or I'm sure it's discussed at, you know, the Board of Governors level, over the executive board level. And again, the one thing that Bettman has done just masterfully over the years, he'll sit in on those executive committee meetings, and there's some profile men involved in that, right? Like Mark Chipman from the Winnipeg Jets, Jeff Molson from the Montreal Canadiens. That's the Canadian injection. And these are highly educated guys with their thumb on the pulse of what's going on, right, around the league. And if a suggestion is made that just isn't going to fly, it basically is stopped cold at the executive board level. And I've always wondered about that. Like, I wonder if I'd have the stones sitting in that meeting, being as powerful as you need to be in that meeting, to push back the commissioner and say, yeah, sorry, man, we're taking this to the larger group. Because,
why not? Works for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been that way for a long, long time. And again, to just be the devil's advocate, it's worked for the NHL owners for a long, long time. There's been lots of situations where owners have pushed back, but, you know, Bettman finds a way to create a common ground where everybody goes, okay, well, let's just hit pause here and let's make sure we're doing this the right way. And 9 times out of 10, it normally ends up going Bettman's way.
Yeah. The one area, Dregs, I don't think he would get pushback on, this idea that the playoff format that exists now is supposed to develop rivalries. I think people are just bored of it. They're like, in this day and age, people just say all that again. Like, I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
That's what I think about.
Well, you're right. Oh, I get that. And that has been a theme of the National Hockey League, dating back to my NBC days, right? Like, Wednesday was rivalry night in the United States, whether it worked or didn't work. I mean, I'm not so sure of that. I guess it didn't work when you look at it from a business platform. It's going to be interesting moving forward. The one thing that I always struggle with, and I'm sure you guys are in the same boat here, is does it make sense, even though the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs are always wildly entertaining. Why are they entertaining? Yeah, they're seven-game series in a lot of cases. Those series go deep, but you've got two top teams, and one of those teams is eliminated. You know, so
right.
The old adage of, well, if you're going to win the Stanley Cup, you got to get through the best. Do you have to do it the first round? Could you maybe wait a round or two? Like, there's always been this pushback as to why to expand the playoffs or change that positioning. And you don't get, you get full pushback and dismissal from the commissioner when he talks about that. But it's always, why would we try and fix something that isn't broken, aside from acknowledging, well, maybe it is broken, or at least it needs a little bit of a tune-up, and they resist all that.
Yeah. Not going to happen at this rate. All right, Dregs, thanks for battling through early on. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys, have a good one.
There's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, it's...
I would expand the playoffs. I mean, it used to be it's 16 out of 21 teams make it. Now it's 16 out of 32.
Mm-hmm.
You can expand it. You could have, like, it just gets more skin in the game. They're talking about making money, making excitement for more markets. I'm all for that. I think there is. And I'm all for 1 versus 8 and changing things a little bit. Not just because, and I know that I've heard this a few times from outside this market, well, it's because Toronto's up against Tampa, that, you know, now they want to change the format. I'm like, no, I think it's more about just getting some of the top-tier teams. If you've been a top-tier team this season, like, I agree, why not have maybe a lesser opponent in the first round, and you get it builds up.
Well,
I believe in that.
Yeah.
And Hayes, Drake said something that just caught my attention in connecting the dots with something you said. At NBC, they used to have rivalry nights. With the lack of physicality in regular season games, like,
right,
how could there even, like...
That's
what,
it.
What are you? What are you talking about?
It's not. Exactly. It's rivalry based on their history or their geography.
That's
right?
It.
Like,
man.
That's really what it is.
What rival? Like, what game for you guys is must watch?
You know what was a bloodbath that used to happen a lot? Philly Pitt.
Yeah, like
Philly Pitt was a bloodbath, or like it not a bloodbath. That's too extreme, but. It was dirty. It was physical. There was yapping. It was like, I'm going to get you. I don't even think that matchup.
Oh, I don't think so either.
No, it's just like, don't hurt me tonight, and I won't hurt you, and we'll maybe see you later.
The one for me recently was Battle of Alberta. You know, you saw a little bit of irritability of Matthew Tkachuk fighting Cassian, and you know that. But outside of that, like, is there, you know, a game that you circle? Go, I need to watch those two teams outside my market because that's a war there. Those guys genuinely
Battle of Ontario. It's like one team plays well and the other one doesn't, and packs it in, and it's usually 6-2 for one or the other.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, now it's more about the skilled player that drives it, which is always what it that's always played a big role and obviously should. Like, if I watch an Oiler game, I want to see McDavid. I want to see Draisaitl. But if you can, when they're not on the ice, what am I watching? You know, that, and that's what is the nature of the sport, is you got to play that fourth line sometimes, right? You got to have the third pairing out there. And it's not about you jump over the boards and your gloves come off for the sake of it, but it's the ability to understand that there could be some craziness.
Sure.
You know, there could be some physicality. There could be some nastiness. There could be some meanness. There could be some retribution, right? And that was that's a sales pitch. You know, that draws people in, and it's no longer really a part of the game, and certainly not when it comes to driving rivalries. Right. You know, it's about proximity. It's about how often you play each other, and like the Leafs Bruins tonight, because they're both really good teams. I'm looking forward to the game. Absolutely. Yep. It'll be a really good game. But I can't speak for anyone that isn't a Leaf fan or a Bruin fan. You know, I would like to think that people would still be intrigued because of how good these two teams are. But, you know, the first thing I would do is go back to 1-8, 2-7. The first thing you do. Because what it allows for is the ability of more races, you know. And yes, using the current situation with the Leafs in their division in the Atlantic as an example. But right now, there really isn't there's kind of a jockeying position between the Leafs and Tampa, possibly. But you know you're going to play them. Whether it's game one's in Toronto or game one's in Tampa, it's going to be Tampa versus Toronto.
Right.
But if you look at it right now, Boston's in their own stratosphere. They're first. The Leafs could, based on where they currently stand, really finish anywhere between second and like fifth. You know, like it's will the Rangers catch them? Probably not. But could they? Maybe. You know, like, so that's you're like, yeah, they could catch Carolina for second, which means they could play this team. And the combination of races go both ways.
I like the idea of a fan base or a couple guys having dinner or beers saying, oh, it'd be cool if we got that team, but it would also be great. Like, just talking about different scenarios.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're getting people talking about potential things that can happen, as opposed to saying, well, that's locked in. We'll look forward to that. Maybe I'll tune in the spring.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing to watch for in terms of that race because it's predetermined.
Today, if it's laid out, you know, 2-7, the Leafs would play Washington, correct?
Well, the Leafs are currently third. They're behind Carolina. They'd play the Rangers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But even from that standpoint, in a week, they might play the Capitals. They might play Pittsburgh. Right. Maybe Buffalo gets back in the race. Maybe Toronto catches Carolina, or they drop behind New Jersey. Yeah, like, there's so much jockeying.
Yeah,
that, you know, that would
be come down to the last day of the season.
It likely would. It likely would. And the same thing in the West. Look at the West. Anywhere from Vancouver, who I believe is, what are they? They 9th or 10th in the West. They have 57 points. They're 9 points behind Dallas, who's first. There could be any combination in the West. Any possible combination. So Calgary's 9th in the West. They likely won't jump over all those teams and end up in first, especially considering we're into February. But you could have 1-8 in the West, any combination. Like, nothing is a lock. Nothing. Edmonton is, they might finish second, they might finish eighth, they might, like, it could go any which way. And I don't see how Bettman, because it's him, can't realize that's just so much more entertaining.
Yes.
Like, it's just so much more fun than just rigid 2-3, the goofy wild card that I still think people don't understand. That you cross over, and then when you're over there, you got to stay over there. Like, it just, it's silly. It's goofy, it's silly. Go back to the 1-8. First thing you should do. But he won't do it now out of spite, right? Because Bettman's made his determination. This is what it is, and that's what it's going to be.
I think that's what bugs me more than anything, that it's just, it's so simple. Have a meeting. Change it.
It's just, but he won't do it out of spite. He's This was my little child here, and I gotta nurture it.
Same thing with the hard cap. He fought extremely hard for no wiggle room. For
cost, he doesn't have a say in that. He's got to go to the owners and be like, "What do you guys think about kind of sliding off this a little bit?" And I guarantee you, all of them at the same time would say, "Not a chance."
Oh, why would the Leafs say not a chance? Why wouldn't the Leafs accept a franchise player or a luxury tax or a soft cap?
Okay, well, are we talking five teams? Are we talking five teams?
I think, I don't know how many you're talking, but it wouldn't be every team. It wouldn't be every team. More than five teams.
What do you think Tommy Dundon down in Carolina would say?
But that's the whole, that is at the center of my biggest issue. Why is Tom Dundon, why does that matter if Tom Dundon isn't willing to spend? He's a billionaire, is he not? He can if he wants to. And if you don't like it, sell the team. But, like, the idea that the Maple Leafs, the Rangers, the Canadians have to play by Tom Dundon's rules is ridiculous. And it's why they're in the position they're in. Because Tom Dundon is more important. He is. Like,
I mean, he's a vote of 32.
Of course.
You know, and that's the thing. He's, like, I see both sides. I understand. I'm a believer of more the baseball, like a luxury tax, like a soft cap type of thing. That gives a little bit of flexibility for people who want to spend money.
Exactly. You should never lose a good player because you simply can't keep the guy. You know what I mean? Like, and there's obviously there are examples of where you just he can't play up the lineup. You can't. There's a budget. Even if it's not a cap system, there's still a budget. You can't pay everyone. I understand that. But the idea that you draft, develop, bring a guy up, and then it's like, sorry, we have to get rid of you. You know, like we have to. There's nothing we can do. You have to leave.
Yeah.
To me is silly. Crazy. It's silly. But again, if Bettman's going to be the guy, which he's going, like Dregs, like Bettman's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. So I think it'll continue this way. All right. TSN 1050 wants you to be our unofficial correspondent at the Waste Management Open in Arizona. The first caller through right now at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050 with the correct keyword announced this morning on First Up. We'll win a $100 Golf Town gift card and we'll qualify for the grand prize draw. So First Up with Karolnik and Koliakova, we'll be calling our grand prize winner this Friday. This Friday on First Up. Full contest details available at TSN1050.ca. I guess we got to do some pebble picks. Are we going to do a pebble picks?
I like a pebble pick.
Okay. You're red hot, dude. You had Homa last week.
I did, and I had Rom the week before that.
Yes, you did. Yes,
and
you did.
I had Rom the week before that at the Century.
I had Rom, didn't I? When did I win? I won with Rom. I won with Rom in Hawaii. That was at Kapalua.
Okay.
I don't think we won at the Sony.
Anyway, a two-pack for me in a row is pretty darn good.
Yes, you're on fire right now. On fire right now. Leafs, Bruins, Raptors in Utah. Our best bets still to come, brought to you by FanDuel. Jerry's After Dark. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.